Hallelujah. I have been really blessed by Pastor Mary's teachings on healing. I felt like every time I've come, you know, I've been greatly strengthened. It's a topic that has been dear to my heart, something that I guess it's been very real to me for a long time, something I've fed on for a long time. There's been... There's times that you know, we've had miracles, we've had victories, and then there's still some things that you realize you get another bad report, and what are you going to do? And you're believing God and pressing in. But I think that when Pastor Mary was talking about, you know, the scriptures and it being medicine to your faith, I think I took it in a greater measure. And you can be studying on something and have truth, and then the Holy Spirit coming along through someone else, through illumination with your own life, and centering in on something that is crucial for what maybe you have for the next part you need. Maybe, you know, when I had the miracle with Natalie, I couldn't have children after Jason. I kept having miscarriages. I'd go in my fifth month and I'd lose the baby. And which is really a hard situation. Your hormones, you've gained the weight, you're all excited, and all of a sudden there's no baby. And they mainly just said, keep trying. Well, when you've gone through basically, you know, months and months of being pregnant and losing the baby, just to have a report, keep trying. You know, I even thought about adoption. You think about all these different things. But I knew in my own heart, you know, not to give up. And we start hearing teaching. I went and received healing at Rhema. It wasn't Brother Hagin. It was a student. And it was so different when I came home. I knew I had something. Because before I would think I was in faith, but then fear would come in. And this time when I got pregnant with Natalie, I never once had fear that I was going to lose this baby. And so Natalie was a miracle. Jason's had a miracle. Jason, our son, had a terrible fall when he was 2. And when he fell, he was so little, you know, he just basically had just a few teeth in, and they straightened up, and we thought all was fine. But what we didn't know was that they had moved his permanent teeth buds around. So when his teeth came in, he had all these problems. Of course, we're Rhema students. And, you know, we're all saying, you know, we're believing God for bread. And you start, Sam, and you're going to have, like, you know, this $10,000 dental bill, and they wanted to do surgery. Well, this is when we were working with Phil Halverson, and he was in our home praying. And Phil prayed for a prayer cloth. And Fern just says, anyone have a hanky, you know, just so nonchalant. And yet someone had a hanky, and Phil laid his hands on it, and we take it home, and we put it on with Jason. And we went back to the dentist. He was spirit-filled. You know, he loved the Rhema students. He knew what position we were in. And he said, you don't have your miracle, but he said, let's give it another week. So we went back the second week, and he came out just beaming, and he said, you've got it. His mouth has grown. His mouth expanded to the point that he didn't have to have surgery. And so, in fact, you know, later in life, one time when Jason, well, I think was even, you know, later, you know, he wanted to know, Mom, where's that prayer cloth at? And so he recognized that he had witnessed the power of God. And so we've had those tastings. We've had tastings of standing on the Word. And, you know, Dennis just laughed. He just says, why don't you just underline every sentence, you know, and just have it done. And then, when I had my ankle broken, and Dennis was helping the kids move, and I'm out by myself, so I'm endeavoring to have my, you know, my crutches and all my parents. Well, this accident got left outside, and it rained. Mm-hmm. And so Natalie came later, and she found it, Mom, your Bible book's all wet. I actually took the hair dryer, and each page dried because there's so many notes. In fact, one time, though, the devil just haunted me and said, how could you have this book that you've spent days in, weeks in, you know, underlined, you know, read again and again, and you don't have victory in this area? You know, and then I had to recognize, you know, what voice that was. Yes. And it's like, no, hallelujah. Whatever I received on, I'll build on, you know, and I'm not quitting. And so, of course, so this book is one that I love. And everybody has different things that ministers to them. But I go back to this, and I put this truth in me. And what's so funny is, Dennis is not quite right. I still find things underlined at times. I still find one word in here that's not underlined. So, but tonight, I want to emphasize for just a short time here about being the receiver. As I talked to you about, we've witnessed receiving in several different ways. Both of those situations I talked about, somebody else was part of the picture. And then there's the healing that's just between you and God and the Word of God. And so that's been my journey in recent days. And so the Lord was just impressing on me, like, what kind of receiver are you? About just relax and just focus on receiving. Just focus on being a good receiver. We can sometimes be, you know, I'm going to speak this word. I'm going to do this. And so I know when the Holy Spirit's telling you something, just relax and just endeavor to be a good receiver. So we could say, okay, what are some things that causes you to be a good receiver? If I wanted to give you something, and let's say I had quite a lot of change right now, and you had your hands closed like this, it would be hard for you to receive, wouldn't it? You'd have to open up your hands, open up, and I could pour what's in. And so much of the time of being a good receiver is how open we are. How open we are. And so there's things that help us to be, to open up. You know, when you pull your car into the driveway, usually you have something in your vehicle, which we all love from ancient days, where we had to get out of the car and go do everything. And we push that button, and what happens? The garage door goes up. Well, that's what these things are that the Spirit helps us do. They are like that garage door opener. And when you open up the garage door, you opened up a whole new room. You've opened up a whole new area. And so one of the things that Pastor Mary shared a little while ago just came off in me. And that's what happens with us. We're in the corporate. Somebody will say something else. It triggers something in you. And she talked about going with expectancy. You talked about, you know, when you're going in, expecting to hear from God. And, you know, there can be an attitude of expectancy. You know, we can grow in, as you grow, as we grow in revelation of who God is, as we grow in revelation of the truth, as we grow in revelation of His character, of course our expectancy can be more. But, you know, almost any attitude you have, you can just change it by choice. You can have a bad attitude and recognize it and make a choice. That's you good. Can be going into your time with God and just be in like, okay, going to do this. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you have an attitude that you just decided, I'm going in today. I'm expecting something. Yeah. Right now in this service, the people that have the expectancy, I'm going to hear something. I'm going to get something tonight. You will get something because that expectancy opens up your heart. And so one of the things of being a good receiver is you know, and we have to catch ourselves at times. You know, we can just get where, you know, we're tired, there's different things. And hey, life's life. You know, and it may not always be as easy. But I've found that every time, if I will just stop and check and say, you know, I'm going to get something. I am going to get an answer. I'm going to touch God. I'm going to learn something. And I get that expectancy. We find that when we go to churches, if the pastor has prepared those people for our coming, if he has set that atmosphere there that when we come, something's going to happen, The level that we are able to come in at is so different. There's an expectancy that the people have. And people that sometimes have not even been able to pray that long, they can step into that anointing and pray longer than they ever have in their whole life. Just because they've had an expectancy that God wants to do something. One of the other things that I found that has been a great help to me, and some of these things may register more with some of you than others, but has been a big factor for me is Thanksgiving. Mm, yeah. If I start to thank God, yes. It starts to take me out of that natural situation and starts rehearsing, and it's what happens. I heard someone say that Thanksgiving, it grabs your soul and moves it towards God. The Thanksgiving grabs your soul and moves it towards God. Grabs your soul and moves it to victory. Because Thanksgiving is a releasing of our heart. It's a hooking up of our heart of gratitude. And if we know that there's anything that opens our hearts, it's gratitude. And one time I heard Brother Copeland talking about when he was in excruciating pain with his back. I mean, so much so that I think it was almost unbearable. And the Lord told him to start thanking him for every area that didn't hurt. The Holy Ghost gave that to him, but he started thanking him, oh, my head doesn't hurt. Oh, thank you, Lord, my foot doesn't hurt. And he said, as he started rehearsing, because what it was getting his focus off of that, it was stirring him up. And he said, after what he started realizing later that pain in his back wasn't like what it was. And so there's Thanksgiving. The other thing is Thanksgiving really helps hook up your soul with your spirit. Sometimes you have to start with it even a little bit cold, and after a little bit, thank you, Lord. Let's just do it for a second. Thank you, Lord. We want to thank you today. Thank you. You can just do whatever. Thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the truth. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you how you saved my children. Thank you how I can have children. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for our church. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you how you sold the building. Thank you what you've done, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. Oh, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are the healer. Thank you that you're the healer. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Whatever you magnify will control you. Whatever you magnify will control you. It strengthens our faith. It prepares us for the miracle-working power of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Another thing is worship. And I'm just putting some things out there that I have found true with me. Because the next thing is with worship is it helps just hook up my heart. It helps me sometimes then to get it, when His presence comes as I'm worshiping Him. It just makes the spiritual things so real. Mm-hmm. And rehearsing a truth that you already know. Maybe there's an area that is you're grabbing hold of. I mean, I know that there's still some truths of healing I'm still grabbing hold of. And so I can go back and rehearse truths that I absolutely know. I absolutely know those truths. And sometimes that truth that I absolutely know, I know He's good. I know He's good. I know He's good. I know He's good. No one can talk me out of knowing He's good. I just know He's good. It's never a situation with me I'm blaming God. I may have other weaknesses with it, but I don't have one. You couldn't talk me into blaming God. You couldn't talk me into knowing He's good. So sometimes, let's say there's a truth that you know, but you can start to rehearse some of those truths You know, and that, and it just gives you that platform. I know this, and Lord, this may still seem like I don't have it yet, but I'm going to know this too.
Yes.
The same revelation, the same revelation, the same spirit of revelation that brought that I know you're good is the same revelation, spirit of revelation that can reveal every area of you. And so when, you know, I really thought I knew the Psalms 91. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a time earlier I could even quote all of it. So I can't say I'm like Brother Hagin, because after I stopped working on it, you know, I know most of it. You know how Brother Hagin used to just be able to pull out a psalm. But, you know, there's amazing how he'll take a psalm, a 91, and all of a sudden there'll be something in that psalm that speaks to you. And this was so funny when Pastor Mary, do you remember this in Psalms 91? That one time I was so excited and I talked about the, in Psalms about the truth being your shield. Do you remember that? And so we were that night we were all talking about Psalms 91 and how much we loved it. And so we were in verse 4. It says, "He'll cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler." Well, that night, we're talking about 91st Psalm. I don't even know, Mary, if you were teaching or if we were all just talking about it. And we were talking about healing and different aspects. And so I had just seen how, boy, the truth is a shield. And Pastor Mary spoke up and you said something about, well, the faithfulness is in there too. When she said that, something went off in me. Now, when I say went off in me, what I'm referring to is something touched my heart in that. Oh, your faithfulness is a shield. And you know, after that, everywhere I'd be turning, I'd find the word faithfulness. And so the whole, you can take scripture and you go back over it and you think you even know it. And then he brings up another aspect of it. And I will tell you, I'm still chewing on that. And it is, and it, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself because this is something the Holy Spirit, you know, showed us. But with this faithfulness, after that night when we got home, and then I would just be amazed in the scripture how many places it talks about truth and faithfulness together. And you think it's truth or his promises and faithfulness or his character. We have his truth and we have his character, his faithfulness, and you know, again, just like I know he's good, I would have said to you that I know he's faithful. If there was something that I didn't receive, I would have never thought God wasn't faithful. I would just think, well, my faith wasn't there. You know, I don't think I've ever questioned God's side of it. You know, I would just question, well, I must not have been trusting. And so I would say that where I go, I open something up and I'd be on faithfulness. And then after Natalie had the baby and we had come home, I'm just doing natural things and I found this bag of tapes and I thought, well, you know, while I'm doing dishes and stuff, I might as well try to listen to some of these tapes because there's this bags of tapes, you know, that you think you're going to get rid of for years. And so let's conquer two things. Let's wash the dishes and listen to some of these tapes. And so I got this tape out. And it was from 1998. It was even part two of someone teaching on prayer. Well, you think at least the part two, you could throw that away. I got to the trash can. I had the tape in my hand and ready to throw it in the trash can. And I had this impression like, well, maybe I better listen to it first. I go and I put it in the tape player. And Vicki Jameson Peterson is singing "Great is Thy Faithfulness." The anointing was so strong on the "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Great is Thy faithfulness. His mercies new every morning. What I've needed, Thy hand has provided. And she, at the end, she's exhorting, you can count on God. You can count on God. Get used to His faithfulness. And you know how it is with tapes. It was just this snippet. So I'd be washing dishes. I'd have to run back to the bedroom, you know, push rewind, push back over here. And for this can be the witness for 4 days, I basically put the tape on, pushed rewind, and pushed play. And, you know, so we had come home. Natalie, you know, had you know, had we'd had she'd had the baby, and then when the day she brought home the baby, the 2-year-old came home from the daycare with a severe case of the flu. So we had Austin throwing up, which meant furniture and carpet and bedding and the baby and fixing food and everything else. So when during this time after we'd gotten home, I will tell you, I was pretty much flatlined. I really hadn't had much sleep for a long time. And then when you get home, you know, we drove home in a blizzard condition, and then we get home, there's this magnitude of what's happening. So but this song was just so feeding me while I was doing stuff. Well, that was, you know, on the Saturday, then we get the word that Nellie's being rushed to the hospital. Well, we had gotten word all week long about emergencies. We'd gotten prayer requests, please pray, all week. Well, then all of a sudden it's your daughter. And you know, I kept hearing that song. The whole, you know, when we're hearing this crisis that now he's being rushed to the hospital. And we were praying, but I couldn't ever seem to step into battle mode. I was just so tired. You know, I wasn't in fear, and I was covering it. And I didn't recognize how bad it was. I don't think either one of us had a clue at what that it was life and death. And so it wasn't till today that the Holy Spirit, I finally got it with the faithfulness. Because I thought, Lord, I never questioned your faithfulness. But he showed me that because there was two intercessors and one of it just happened to be, we're supposed to be praying. It was Melinda's mom, the missionary who's been here. And we're supposed to be praying with her, and I just gave her a quick call. Because, I mean, when you're in a battle, you're not taking much time to call people. I called Pastor Mary, let her know we won't be at church. I called Robin and Carol to let them know that we couldn't pray with them. And I called this intercessor to say we can't pray with you. And so this intercessor, who's in her 80s, called another intercessor who we have prayed for and stood with. And they stayed up all night. They literally stayed up all night and came against death on Natalie. I didn't even realize at that point it was that bad. And the next morning the Lord showed me very clearly, in a very clear way, that it had been the spirit of death. And the doctor then told Natalie, she just shared this with him last time, the doctor said, I've never been to surgery like that. And he said that when Natalie came in, because he said it was so supernatural. And he said, you know, it was much worse than he was expecting. And he said, all the people there, it was like they were handing him what he needed before he even knew what he needed. You know, and he told Natalie, he says, I've never been in surgery like that. And so, and he said to her later, he said, when I saw you, he said, it was so much worse than I thought it was going to be. He says, I didn't want to scare you, you know, but he knew then it could be her life. Well, and we're over here on this part, you know, and I'm saying we're hearing it and we're praying, but I'm not picking up. We're battling against death. But his faithfulness knew when we were in that place of such fatigue.
Yes.
He
yes.
called on his intercessors
yep.
who were willing, and I know that Master Mary was praying too, and these two ladies are real prayer people. I mean, you know, they stayed up all night. Never met either one of them. We pray with Melinda's mom on the phone a lot, and we've stood for Melinda's life many times, and we've also stood for this other lady's life. But God's faithful. So that to me, so opening. Today I finally got it. I didn't even catch the whole time. He was just saying, Leanne, I'm faithful. I'm faithful. And so there's even this part of being open and receiving healing. Part of Leanne, relax. I'm sure there, in all these scenarios, we would be amazed who he's had praying for us.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Who we've had backing us up.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We do our part. We stand. Yeah. We get in the Word. But he's faithful.
That's right.
He's faithful.
Yes.
He's faithful. And that's where then, mm-hmm. help us when maybe we're the ones that he's calling on to stand for someone else's life. And you know what? And if there's been some things that haven't all worked out at different times, you have to just not go there.
Yeah.
And just he's faithful.
Yeah.
He's faithful. He is faithful. Because I was starting to think, Lord, I really do believe you're faithful. And yet you're showing me this all the time. And I think what it is, he's showing me, Leanne, I'm faithful so much more than you even know.
Yeah. Amen.
Because I'm thinking he's faithful to his word. He's mm-hmm. faithful to me. He's faithful to his mm-hmm. promises. But, I mean, he's faithful. This was mercy. Mm-hmm. He's faithful. He's faithful. We can count on God. We can. His mercies, he's faithful. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You would have thought, okay, we're the prayer ministry. Everybody expects us to be, you know, praying for everybody else. Hallelujah. He's faithful. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, what am I supposed to be done? Pastor Dwayne, you give me, okay, you know, okay. yeah, hallelujah. The one other thing I do want to touch on this, because this so blessed me.
You can do questions and answers if you want. Whatever you got.
Okay. You will find, again, there's been times as Pastor Mary has taught, there's been something, you know, that has triggered something in me. And that's what corporate's about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we tell people about corporate prayer, any corporate setting.
Right.
You know, we come in, there's that sharpening, there's that faith. And, again, I don't know for sure which session it was. Pastor Mary, you talked about the talking to God, about, you know, talking to the Father and just different aspects about who he is as a Father and about Jesus. And he is of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, you know, I thought, that was a new journey for me with the Holy Spirit. When I started talking to him as a person and started acknowledging who he was. You're the one who guides me into truth.
Yes.
You're, Holy Spirit, you're the one who is my helper. I didn't just... And because, you know, when you think about God the Father, each time we get a revelation of him, the revelation opens things up. With God the Father, we know he's good Father. We know he's El Shaddai.
That's right.
You know, all these different names reveal an aspect of him. With Jesus, that leper, when he just had revelation that Jesus was able to heal him, he still couldn't receive his healing.
Mm-hmm.
He had to grow in revelation that Jesus was also willing. And when he learned that Jesus was willing mm-hmm. and able, then he could receive. And so these things can be progressive. You know, there was a day when all of us believed Jesus was Savior, but didn't know he was healer, mm-hmm. didn't know he was provider. And so when I, on the Psalm 22, 23, and 24, you know, it's on the Savior, the Shepherd, and the King. And people can know Jesus as the Savior, but not walk with him as Shepherd. He's not leading them. They're not letting him be the one who guides them or whatever. Or they may know him as Shepherd and don't really understand that he's King. Well, we all grow in these things. But every more you know about them, the more your relationship. And when someone told me with the Holy Spirit to study John 14, 15, and 16, that was a whole new world for me. Because when I went to that and really did it and saw what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit and started going, oh, you're the Spirit of truth. You lead me and you guide me into all truth. You're the teacher. And as I started to realize you're the revealer, and as I talked to him that you're my helper, I talked to him, you are my counselor. I don't understand all of it, but I know you're a counselor. And these things all fit with healing. Because once I acknowledge him in those aspects, I make a demand on that part of him. And if he is my teacher, and he will lead and guide me into all truth, then as when I saw this phrase, I am Christ the healer, that said that the Holy Spirit, that he desires to totally rid us of all unbelief. If the Holy Spirit had his way, if we would rely on him and attend to the word, his desire would be to rid us from all doubt, from all unbelief. And as I have let that truth say, Holy Spirit, I know I'm still dealing with some doubt. But I trust you.
Yes.
You're going to help. You're helping me. The revelation comes. The light is coming. And you are shining the light. It's kind of like tearing that roof off of whatever unbelief or whatever hindrances I have. You are helping that. And you know, if this is his dispensation, and he is the miracle worker, it is that he is the spirit, the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. Mm-hmm. And that same resurrection power, the Holy Spirit, is in us. And so even as we're recognizing who he is, it's like we activate, you know, that part of it. And so as I have, and then I Trinus, and this is another book that just so has blessed me. And Trinus talked about, and Pastor Mary said then it was a great help to her.
Yes.
And she said to the Holy Spirit, he'll never, never leave you until the battle is finished. You know, and Brother Hagin would say sometimes you start to lose it through a counterattack. But the Holy Spirit will always bring that truth back. He's that spirit of truth. And so, like, you know, I heard Brother Hagin talk about in his journey, you know, he didn't know anything about healing, and he would grab a truth. Then the devil would come and give him something like, but you don't qualify for that. But the same Holy Spirit then would illuminate another scripture. You know, being healed by faith. And that truth would come back, and it would refute the devil. So it's that part where it says he's the advocate. If we can see that, if we'll let the Holy Spirit help us, let him be the advocate, that when the devil comes to accuse us, if we will let the Holy Spirit be that advocate, you know, just like when I was having that come to my mind, like, you know, anybody whose book looks like this, you know, shouldn't be dealing with any bad report on anything. You know, that was, and guess where that was coming from? Did that encourage me?
No.
Did that strengthen me?
No.
Did that give me vision?
No,
well, might as well just forget it. And yet then the Holy Ghost, the great advocate, the great lawyer, when I would start to listen to him, it was like, you know, I think the thing he said was, where do you think that came from? And if it is coming from him, then it just must mean it's doing good, and he's wanting you to give up. And so the Holy Spirit, you know, because it says he's the helper. He's the standby. But, and some of this will grow in, but when you come and you really talk to him and say, you know, Holy Spirit, I know you're my helper. And if you're my helper, I know I'm going to make it. And if you're the teacher, and as you acknowledge these different aspects about him, you're my teacher. When I had found Isaiah 50, verse 4, and I realize we're not turning to much, are we? But it was about Jesus, but it's the same thing with when Jesus was a man and operated through the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth is for us. It says he awakens me morning by morning.
Mm-hmm.
He wakes, and when awakens means takes you above the natural senses.
Yeah.
He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as a disciple who's one that's taught. And when I started rehearsing that, I started seeing more and more. I can be in this classroom, and I can trust him, and there is no limit to what I can learn.
Amen.
I don't, and I know people. Some people, you know, people don't have hours. But if I go in with that expectation every morning, you're waking me up. You're wake every morning. You wake me up every morning. You waken my ear to hear, and that means revelation. As a student, as one who's taught. And if I have the Holy Spirit as the teacher, and he's the revealer, he always is wanting to reveal. There's no limit to what he wants to reveal. And part of it, you know, I think we have to just even be open and just say, you know, hey, I'm going to learn more. I'm going to know more about God now than I did before. Now, sometimes we expect this all to be like this. Do you realize that today, when I caught that with faithfulness and realized it wasn't so much faithful like what I was doing, he was faithful to have someone stand in the gap for me, I caught even a little bit more of him. He always, when Jesus was here on the earth, the Holy Spirit was always using Jesus, always having Jesus reveal the Father.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
He's always. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
That's right.
Well, how do you think Jesus knew what to say and knew what to do? He was yielded to the Holy Ghost. And that's that revealing. He has never stopped being the revealing, in revealing truth, revealing who God is, revealing to us. And so, but we activate that. And so the one other scripture that had come to me and was a situation that I realized this again was the Holy Ghost, was on the part with activation. Because I'm reading again just through this book, you know, and you're reading, and all of a sudden what we're talking about, something, one of the verses just seems to just really touch you. I think sometimes we try to get, you know, we say jumps off the page, or we can kind of seem so hard, because sometimes it's sort of subtle, but you're just reading along, and all of a sudden you read one of the scriptures, and it's like, oh, yeah, what did that say? Well, then you have a choice. You can either give that place, and you can either respond to it, or you can kind of override it and go on. And so this morning, when I was going, even this morning, it says, my voice is Psalms 5:3. My voice shall you hear in the morning. My voice shall you hear in the morning. My voice shall you hear in the morning. Well, see, somebody else could read that same scripture, and it wouldn't make that much difference. But where I've been pondering about, Lord, I think I still don't speak your word. Like Pastor Mary, when she was doing that, you know, she's doing the scriptures, and she says, this is medicine. And she'd do the next scripture, and she'd say, this is medicine. I was going through here, and I'd been doing confessions, and they, I mean, I love these confessions. On some of these, and I don't try to do all of them. I underline the ones that really minister to me, and I'm not trying to do the whole book, because then I would just get heady, then I would get back into work, then I'd get back into conquering this, and if I read one more scripture, I'll have faith, and you know, I'm back into the old thing. But I was confessing it, but I noticed a couple of weeks ago when Mary was doing that, and I was actually speaking that scripture, and then I was declaring it was medicine, something was going off in me. So I would say the Holy Spirit's going to keep tweaking us on what we need to do for that time. And so when I read that this morning, my voice, so you hear in the morning, you know, I go through these scriptures, I meditate on them, but I recognize I'm still being weak in the speaking of it. And when he said, and when I read that, my voice, well, you hear in the morning, I knew it was God. My voice, well, you, I, so like I'm telling God, because David was saying it, and sometimes he'd say even to his soul, my voice, well, you hear in the morning. Now, people have busy schedules. I mean, Dennis worked at drywall this week. 4 in the morning is wake up time. You know, if you want to get up an hour before work, you know, that means, you know, 3, so we've been there. But I recognize it starts to be even a moment. You're doing something else, and you're lifting your voice. And I've done it to a degree, but I could see that whether it's praise, whether it's the scriptures, or whatever it is. And I'm sharing that with you because I felt like it wasn't just for me. So, it was, in fact, it was kind of sweet. It was like, it was just saying, like, you know, Lord, my voice you're going to hear in the morning. Just tell me, my voice you're going to hear in the morning. My voice you're going to hear in the morning. Now, I have a choice right now. Then what am I going to do with it? Hallelujah. So, so I would just tell you that this all is a journey, and I am so grateful for the truth I have. But then But I guess, to be honest with you, I have an excitement. Because when the Holy Spirit is ever giving you something to work with, then you know that as you obey that, He'll bring such increase. I know with all of us, there's still a part about hearing, whether it's praise you, Lord, love you, Lord, something about our voice, and something about lifting up our voice in the morning is so wonderful. So, hallelujah.
Okay. Yeah, I got one scripture to share that goes with this receiving. You know, these Pauline prayers in Ephesians 3:20, Amplified says this: "Now to Him who by a consequence of the action of His power that has worked within us is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly far over above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." And the thought behind this, we do all we can do, but God's not living by that.
Amen.
We can go beyond. That's what's so good about it. In other words, I'm doing my part, but God is doing more.
That's
it's
right.
Like, maybe I didn't know how to praise some things. Well, God's got to cover it. I just need to make sure show up on my part. That's best I know how. God's helping. And God says, I'll take it from here.
Praise Him. That's
right.
Praise
Him. So expansion with the Holy Ghost can do so much more. It's just we're looking to Him, but He's so almighty. He's so good. Hallelujah.
So let's just make this confession that we're good receivers.
Hallelujah.
We're good receivers. We're good receivers. We're good receivers.
Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. We're good receivers. Hallelujah. We're good receivers. Hallelujah. Our expectancy is high.
Yes.
Our expectancy is high. We open up our hearts. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. Anything we've made hard, anything that we've made too hard, we just give to you. Hallelujah. We're just open. We're just receiving. Oh, we receive. We receive. We receive. We receive. Hallelujah. Oh, we're good receivers. We are good receivers. Hallelujah.